Here we have him, the food maven, the food maverick, which means that it's a new week and a new topic and a new Arthur. Hello, Arthur.
Good morning, good afternoon,
there's
whatever
that too.
It is. Yeah, I lose track. This is something interesting. I never lose track of what is in season in the market. And, you know, you have to be reminded sometimes by going to the market, which I do like to do. I do like to pick out my own produce. But this I know, April, is the month that is the worst for fruit. And I eat a lot of fruit. There are literally walls of strawberries in my neighborhood. Somewhere in America, I believe it's California, they're harvesting strawberries in early April, mid-April. Usually you don't see a good strawberry until May or June, local strawberries, June, in the northwest corner, July, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean...
I always, you know, the Fraise des Bois were even later.
The first what?
The Fraise des Bois, the...
Oh, yeah. Well, I must say, I when I was in Cornwall, living in Cornwall, I had a lot of Fraise des Bois growing in my lawn. Or it really wasn't the lawn. I used to call it the short green growth because we kept it mowed. But first thing in the spring, besides getting some chicory and dandelions, very young and tender and not all that bitter, I would get a lot of these wild strawberries. And I remember more than once sitting on the lawn, that's the so-called lawn, and picking them, picking whatever was around me. And guess who came up to pick around? The rabbits. I was sitting so still, and I learned that if you sit pretty still, the rabbits aren't afraid, and they'll come up and eat strawberries too. So anyway, there are strawberries in my supermarket. And in fact, I got a pint that were really, really good. And that, of course, made me go back and buy more. And the next pint wasn't so good.
Right.
But this is the time of the year when because I do eat a lot of fruit, that I make what Italians used to call Macedonia di frutta, a Macedonia of fruit. Now, the reason I say used to is it used to be a standard restaurant item. And almost any trattoria you went to, even a formal restaurant, would have some kind of fruit salad. It's hard to find now. I think pineapple, just a piece of pineapple, is considered a more sophisticated fruit dessert in Italy than the Macedonia. Just like here. I mean, when was the last time somebody offered you fruit salad for an appetizer?
Not as an appetizer, but somebody actually put it as part of a meal, and I was like, wow, that's good. I mean, don't let it touch the meat, but...
Well, it depends on what you're eating. I happen to like fruit with pork. I wouldn't eat fruit with beef. I'm trying to think, do I ever eat fruit with chicken? No, not that I can think of, except for lemon. I do make chicken dishes with lemon in them.
Right.
But, yeah, I like a Macedonia, and I'm... got to say, in my circle, I am famous for my fruit salad. But here's my formula. It's so easy. First of all, this time of the year, what are you going to get? It's the very end of the citrus season. My neighbor Ellen and I bought together some of those little supposedly sweet seedless tangerines. I'm glad we were splitting a bag because they weren't very good. They were sort of sour.
Right.
Apples, there's always apples around, no matter what. And bananas, there's always a banana. And bananas are wonderful for making a fruit salad because if you put them in an acidic environment, for instance, some orange juice, they become a thickener. They start to dissolve into and sweeten the orange juice. So my formula is for a half a cup to a cup of orange juice, which you can squeeze yourself, if you buy some juice oranges, or you can buy a little container of orange juice if you don't keep orange juice in the house. And that's your base liquid, is orange juice. And to that I would add, for like a half a cup of orange juice to start, I would add one peeling orange or tangerine, cut into pieces. One nice size apple, peeled or not, depends on your taste. I like to see the red in any case, so red apple. Diced, and a banana. So you got one orange, one apple, and one banana. You could add a half a cup to a cup of orange juice. You probably don't need any sugar. In any case, I wouldn't add it until this mixture sat for a good hour or so. You can put it in the refrigerator. I don't necessarily like it better the second day, but I do like it made in the morning and then eaten later in the day. It should sit a few hours. It could sit in the refrigerator, and as I said, if you need sugar, you can add a little bit. Now, that's your base. If you happen to get some good strawberries, now look for the ones. I've been seeing a lot of strawberries around that have white on the tops. No matter how fragrant they seem, and the first thing you do to pick a box of strawberries is smell them, because they do have vents in the box. So if they do have a good strawberry aroma, that's at least some prediction of flavor. And then make sure that they're all red. As I said, I see a lot that have a lot of white on them. I end up cutting off the white. It's a waste of berry, but they're hard and they're sour. But add strawberries at the very end, because they do tend to redden up the whole deal. The other thing you could add after your orange, banana, and apple sit is some grapes. Now, we're getting great grapes from Chile, and we're getting great blueberries from Peru. And so you could have an international fruit salad. I'm nowadays, Jill, anti-locavore, because if I was really a locavore, there'd be hardly anything to eat until now.
Don't people have glass huts? Do they not do a good job with fruit? Is that the story?
Who?
I don't know. Locally,
I don't know. You know, I every season I buy at least one Jersey peach. They're never wonderful.
Right.
Apples, yes, we have glorious, glorious apples in the Hudson Valley.
It's just the wrong time of year for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's not the time of year.
Right.
Now you're getting storage apples. Pears ripen off the tree. So pears are usually a good bet if you're willing to wait a couple of days before you eat them. And all these things can go into a fruit salad. I'm just giving you my base.
Right.
Is orange, apple, and banana. And by the way, one nice-sized banana is probably enough to sweeten up a salad with two apples and two oranges.
All right, I have a digression question, and that is...
Good. I like digression questions.
Okay. Ambrosia. My grandmother used to make ambrosia that was so good. It wasn't too sweet.
Marshmallows?
And it wasn't too... And every time I see a, a recipe for it, please try not to take this the wrong way. It seems like it's so full of marshmallow fluff or something. And
yeah, marshmallows and coconut.
But I don't eat marshmallows. So,
well, I don't really prefer them myself.
In fact,
how much I don't prefer them. Bob happens to love chocolate-covered marshmallows.
Bob, please. I didn't do that. I didn't say that.
Well, he's not the only person I know who likes chocolate-covered marshmallows.
I know an
8-year-old and a 10-year-old who like them too. Anyway, we have a chocolatier in Brooklyn here,
right?
Joe Mart on Avenue R in Marine Park, my old neighborhood, who make sensational. They make their own marshmallows, obviously. Sensational chocolate covered marshmallows. So Bob bought a lot when we went recently, and you know I only had one. They were sitting out, and it didn't even tempt me. So, although they have a lot of different flavors at Joe Mart that I should try, like they have a s'more chocolate-covered marshmallow, you know, on a base of graham cracker. Anyway, back to fruit. I never make ambrosia.
Ambrosia. Right.
I have looked at recipes fairly recently, thinking that maybe I should, and then I see all the sugar that's in it. For my fruit salad, you don't need sugar.
Right.
Maybe you'll add a tiny bit, but you don't really need it because, seriously, the banana sweetens up everything. By the way, I often add a little bit of a liqueur. In the old days, I've been making Macedonia for 50 years. It wasn't so hard to buy a liqueur called Maraschino. Now, you know about Maraschino cherries. Well, there is an actual Maraschino. I think it's Marasca cherry. And Maraschino is a liqueur made from these sour cherries. I never see it. I guess I could order it if I really wanted it. But I also like to put in almost any orange-flavored liqueur. Triple Sec, Cointreau, sort of whatever you have.
Right. There's always that one.
Yeah. Believe it or not, what really works very well, it's always surprising, is a little creme de cacao, if you have that buried in the back of your liquor closet.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of everybody does have one. What do I do with this stuff? Well, literally a couple teaspoons sort of brings up the flavor of the fruit. So that's nice. Now, the other thing that I've been making, because I haven't made it in years, and it's in my fruit cravings, is fruit smoothies. Nowadays, smoothies, you can buy them on the street and from a cart. At least you can in Brooklyn and Manhattan, I'm sure, too. However, I've been making smoothies, what we now call smoothies, since the 1960s. I got my first blender. I thought it through this morning. I got my first blender in the fall of 1967. It was given to me by my parents' best friends, Caesar and Marie. And Caesar liked to do bartending things.
Yeah.
And I think at that point he may have gone into frozen daiquiris or something. We're talking the end of the 60s. Whatever he was making with ice in the blender. And he thought he needed a better blender than he had. Little did he know that not only did he already have the best blender ever, but that best blender ever that he gave to me in 1967 is now still operating in 2024, back in Brooklyn where it belongs.
We had an osterizer.
I have an osterizer.
Okay. And
so I was given.
And it lived, and it went to my brother, and it's still alive from.
Absolutely.
From that era.
Well, unfortunately, the jar broke a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think you
and
told them.
I thought that was the end of the blender until I discovered you could buy replacement jars.
Yeah.
So I bought a replacement jar online, and it came broken into many, many pieces.
My favorite.
And it was so cheap, I decided it was too much trouble even to complain. And the bottom part sat in my closet here. Until I happened to be in an appliance store recently, and I said to this is a local small business appliance store, and I said, oh, by the way, do you have replacement jars? He didn't even have to finish my sentence. You have an osterizer. So
I love that.
And the jar, they've changed the shape of the jar. It's wider and squatter, which is good for my closet storage, by the way. And it comes with new blades, new gasket, new plastic base. Now the thing is this: I was given a fancy dancy blender some years ago, a Viking blender, and it broke almost immediately. At that time, I was teaching cooking at the Viking store in Garden City, Long Island. And so I brought my broken blender to the store thinking, oh, they could replace this gear or whatever. It was all plastic gears on this thing. So as soon as you put anything tough in it, the gears, whatever, stripped.
Yeah.
So the guy who ran the cooking school said, you know, this happens to them all. It's not. I'm not going to use the word he used, but it's a piece of. And he gave me a new one. That one didn't last very long either, and I was back to the one that was given to me in 1967, which I used only yesterday to make a really delicious smoothie with half a pint of strawberries, a half a pint of blueberries. This is a antioxidant bomb. and one banana, oh, I don't know, a cup and a half or so of milk. And I only freeze these huge ice cubes for making cocktails. And so I had to borrow sensible-sized ice cubes from my next-door neighbor. And she actually makes these tiny egg ice cubes, which I now realize are the perfect for making a smoothie because they really chop up and foam up immediately. So that was it. And I must say, it made about a quart of smoothie, which was a quite filling dinner. Protein from milk. I think people who are into the protein thing put protein powder in these things. I should look into that. But anyway, smoothies are a great thing to do with the fruit that we're... And by the way, I've realized it's not so terrible on a pint of strawberries to put a tablespoon of sugar. And it really makes a big, big difference. Oh, the other thing that could make a big difference in flavor is balsamic vinegar. Did you ever put balsamic vinegar on strawberries?
Yes, I did. Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's good, especially with mediocre strawberries.
Yeah, for me, because I'm not a huge balsamic.
Neither am I.
So I think it's about just a little sugar, just for fun, for crunch. If.
Yeah, a little sugar is not gonna,
But it's whether or not it's whether you're not. I like strawberry, yes, I like smoothies. There are things in smoothies, though, that don't work for me, that you don't want to know.
Yeah, me too. I look at these green smoothies and I say, first I got to get over the green.
What people need to...
Mine was very, by the way, with blueberries and strawberries was a beautiful...
That's going to be yummy. That's going to be gorgeous. But
the color was terrific. And you know what? Both blueberries and strawberries are extremely high in fiber because they have all those seeds. So if you're somebody who watches
doesn't have enough fiber.
Well, nobody has enough fiber. At least 25 grams a day, and you have to be very conscious of eating fiber to get that much, unless you eat legumes every day, which I don't, but I do eat a lot of vegetables. Today we're going to have broccoli, and also I'm making, this is something that is in season, and I can't wait to make it, vignarola, which is a mix of vegetables. You cook them well on top of the stove. I'm making artichoke hearts, asparagus, and peas, but the more traditional would be artichoke hearts, fava beans, and peas. We don't love fava beans as much as we love asparagus.
Right. No, I would join you for the asparagus.
And I made it that way many, many times. Today I happen to have an abundance of shallots in the basket here, so I'm going to do it with shallots. But normally I would do it with scallions. No garlic in this, Jill.
Right. And then how would you?
What I do is I cut the asparagus on a sharp diagonal into, I don't know, inch and a half, 2-inch pieces. And I put them, first of all, I heat some oil in the skillet with, I'm going to use a couple of nice-sized shallots. I haven't decided to, I'll probably slice them because I'm lazy today. Slice them and let them cook for 2 minutes. And then add the asparagus and let them cook for 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Until they start turning a darker green. And then I add I buy frozen artichoke hearts, 12-ounce bag, put that in there. Salt, of course, pepper. Cover the pan over low heat, let them stew until they're very tender. And the peas require almost no cooking because we like very sweet peas. If you don't mind them being a little starchy, you can put them in and let them cook for 10 minutes. But what I do is I defrost my peas, let's say, for cup and a half of peas, let them defrost, and then put them in at the last minute and then just cook them through until they're heated through. That's it. You can do this instead of olive oil. I mean, it's totally vegetarian, vegan, I guess, if you do it with olive oil. But you could do it with butter if you like. And no cheese. You could do pancetta instead of olive oil, or both. That's always good. You know, depends. I have pancetta in the house, but I think I told you I bought this pizza oven that I need to play with.
Right.
So I can report to you. And one of the things I was going to make is a pizza with pancetta on top. The thing goes to 800 degrees. Very, very hot. And I was going to make pizza with my great nieces when they come to visit soon. But everywhere you look on the packaging and in the instruction book, it says, be careful, the whole thing gets really hot. And you should only handle it with oven mitts. So that sounds a little too dangerous for an 8-year-old.
So it sounds just a little bit like the people who always, you know, in deep frying turkey,
deep fried turkey story.
But no, people who deep fried turkeys in New York City apartments, I am always curious.
No.
Because
you have
they
to
saw
have outdoor
it on the Wednesday before the.
They get what they deserve.
I'm sorry. And this sounds
you know, I've only
dubious.
Had deep fried turkey
outside.
Once. I only had deep fried turkey once, and maybe it wasn't done all that well. But I wouldn't, it's not something I would ever crave.
It's certainly not something I would try, you know, risk burning down my building for.
Yeah. So anyway, get through this fruit season. I don't know, the strawberries could come in good. I don't know. It's possible still. I mean, the weather is so strange.
The weather can best kindly be described as sketchy.
Sketchy?
Yeah. Sketchy.
I get scared every time they say there's going to be a frost, but now we're over the hump, I believe.
Yeah, you should be done with frost. And they don't say there's going to be earthquakes very often, so you're good with that.
Yeah. Well, I felt it on my kitchen table.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me where people... And you were there for Sandy, right? Because
oh yeah,
because people that I know above 57th Street, more specifically 90th and Central Park West, didn't feel a thing. But below, you know, down in the Village, absolutely.
Well, I found interesting was that the reports in Manhattan were, if you were on lower floors, you didn't feel anything, but on the upper floors, it was strong.
Interesting.
Yeah, somebody had a reporter at Tudor City, and reporting on that.
Okay. Well, as I
all
said,
right, my dear, and everybody else out there.
Happy fruit. What?
Happy fruit. I'm not sure what's coming up, but asparagus are really. You know, I saw these really nice asparagus here. They've been 99 cents a pound. So something's going on in the world, like the strawberries and the asparagus
are
more
early.
Abundant
okay,
than
well,
usual.
Or you know me and calendars. Don't get me started, as they say.
Okay, I won't.
Okay.
Okay, ciao, everyone.
Yeah, ciao, ciao. And ladies and gentlemen, what could we do without him? Arthur Schwartz, the food maven on Robert's Radio.